Lord, I thank you for a great opportunity, because this is a highlight in my life, and I thank you for how you have spoken to my heart and the areas that you have pointed at that I am convicted of and I need to work on and have victory through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. I thank you for each of these ladies that you have brought to this session, and it was my prayer that you would bring just the ladies who need to hear this message. And Lord, I pray for blessing to them, that you will give them hope, strong faith, hope, and confidence in you as they learn the strategy for praying for a prodigal, and that they will trust you for the victory in the life of the person or persons that they're praying for. So Lord, I depend upon you for your impressing your thoughts upon me, for filling me with your love and your Holy Spirit, and letting your powerful word go forth in truth and power and victory, landing on the fertile ground of each person in this room. So Lord, prepare our hearts and help us to have understanding and make application to our lives. You're a great God, and we're going to thank you for what you're going to teach us and for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name and through his mighty blood we pray. Okay, I've already shared with ladies that I have a prayer journal, and in it I have a page of prodigals that I pray for, and Friday is the day that I like to pray for prodigals. But also, if you are greatly burdened, I encourage you to do it daily, and I'm going to share the time that I did pray daily for a prodigal in our family. But you know, most prodigals come from a godly home. At least the ones that I'm praying for, yes, on my list, they come from godly parents, they come from godly grandparents, and you go, how? Oh yeah, anybody, because if there's no rhyme or reason in here, you just, wherever you can find a seat and get comfortable. You go, how can a child from a godly home who are daily instructed in God's word and a godly grandparents on both sides praying for them, how can they go so wayward and reject the teachings of their family? Well, this is an attack of Satan. Satan is relentlessly attacking young adults today and teenagers. And so we just have to realize godly parents need to walk in their God-given authority. We're going to show you how to do that. Or godly people who are praying, we're going to show you how to walk in God-given authority as you pray for this prodigal. The victory comes when we enter God's throne room. Just find any seat. It's just scattered everywhere. Just anywhere. I don't know what we'll do if we run out of chairs, but we can sit them on the table. The victory comes when we enter God's throne room. That is the key in praying for a prodigal. We pray boldly. We plead our case before God in prayer and in faith, believing. Now, I'm going to be expounding on all of this as I go along. But the first thing we got to do is boldly enter to God's throne room in faith and pleading our case before him. And if you're believing God to bring your prodigal back to him, you must declare it daily. I know I have a Friday list, but because I have so many other lists that I pray over Monday, Tuesday. But for those that parents ask me to pray for daily, then I will. If they ask me to, I have a long daily list that I pray for, along with my Monday, my Tuesday, my Thursday, my Friday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But if they ask me to pray daily, then I will without fail. But I encourage you to pray daily for your prodigal. And so I'm going to be sharing a powerful strategy for you to use as you pray for your prodigal and you witness God's victory. Did you hear that? Yes. And you will witness God's victory as you pray this strategy. And so another thing, instead of begging God, We get on our knees and we beg and we pray all night. And that's good to pray through the night if you're doing that. But I think I'm learning that it is more effective instead of begging, oh God, please, please bring my pride. Instead of doing that, just start speaking God's word, and I'm going to show you what portions of God's word. Just speak it out to God and claim it in faith. And watch and see how God will use that as you pray for your prodigal. Okay? Now, my husband has a wonderful book on the prodigal. And I said, honey, would you go get that book off your shelf at the church and bring that home to me so I can use that to prepare? So he did, and he came home and said, you know, I don't have that book. I said, oh, my God. Okay. And but he was so kind, he got on the internet and he just wrote out prodigal. And you can do that. I want you to do that when you get home. Get on the internet and just write out prodigal. And you will get a wealth of information on how to understand what a prodigal is, how to help them. Great, wonderful advice and how to pray for them. So I'm just sharing you some tips from the internet that my husband gave me, and this will be beneficial for you. Does everybody have a computer at home? You can get on the internet. I suggest that you do that because you will get wonderful, helpful, because there's great material out there. So what we're going to do, I'm going to just, instead of having you turn to your Bibles and reading the story of the parable that everybody's familiar with, of the prodigal child, I'm just going to paraphrase it for you, okay? So we're going to get a little idea of it, and then we're going to take off. This will be our springboard for getting into our lesson. The parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15, 11 to 52. All right, here we go. You know, there was a man that had two sons, and the younger one said to his father one day, Dad, give me the share of my estate. And so the dad divided the property between them. And so not long after that, the son gathered all that he had, and he set off for a far country. And he squandered all his wealth in wild living. And then a severe famine arose. And boy, he was in need. So he needed to find a job so he could eat. And so he finally found the job of feeding the pigs. Can you imagine that? After living in a wealthy home, having everything he could ever want, and he ends up having a job feeding the pigs. And he was so hungry that he was actually longing to eat pig food. Can you imagine that? Craving and longing, to be so hungry that you're longing for the pig food. And so I call it the pig slop. But you know what? Nobody gave him anything. Can you imagine? Here he is in the pig pen. He's longing for pig slop, and nobody would give him any pig slop to eat. And you know what? As a result of that experience, he came to his senses. And he said, wow, my dad's hired servants back home have food left over when they eat. And here I am from the home of a wealthy man, and I have nothing to eat. And so he decides, I think I better go back home. I don't know how long this time frame was that he was feeding those pigs. But he said, I'm going to go back home, and I'm just going to humble myself. And I'm going to tell my father, Dad, I've sinned against heaven, and I've sinned against you. And he said, Dad, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Please make me like one of your hired men. And so his father got up. And, well, now this is what I'm telling you, what he's going to tell his dad. Okay. This is what he's going to tell his dad. He's not home yet. So one day his father got up, and he probably did this every day. He probably ran up on a high hill somewhere, and he's looking daily. Where's my son? When is he going to come back? Oh, I've been praying for him that God will bring him back. So one day the father is looking again, searching for that son to walk up the road. And sure enough, he finally sees that prodigal son coming home. And what does the father do? Man, he raises up his skirt and he runs. And by the way, that's supposed to be very undignified for a man to do that back in Bible days. That is so immodest. You don't do that. You're the head of the house. But he raises it up and he runs to his son. And after he sees him, he just throws his arms around him and gives him a big old bear hug. And then he kisses him and kisses him. Can you imagine that scene? And the son tells his father, "Oh, Dad, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But you know what Dad did? He said, "Hey, servants," he got all his servants, "I want you to bring the best robe for my son. I want you to bring a ring for his finger. I want you to bring sandals for his feet. And go kill that fatted calf. We're going to have a big party. We're going to have a big homecoming celebration." And so what a great story to focus on as we talk about the prodigal in our family. First of all, we're going to look, I'm looking at a resource material that's called Loving Your Prodigal Child. And a crisis when a child means your family, with a child, means your family is headed into a period of testing and growth. If you have a prodigal child, God is just putting your family in a period of testing and growth for you. Okay, so that's a neat thought. Okay, the core meaning of the word prodigal is waste. That's what prodigal means, waste. The famous prodigal son from Jesus' parable in Luke 15 not only wasted all his material possessions of his inheritance with much of his life, he also did much worse. He wasted his life through rebellion and foolishness, and he wasted his precious relationship with his dad. Imagine that, with a father who loves him so very much. So what is a prodigal child? So listen carefully to this, because this, we're going to get a true definition of a prodigal. First, it's important to realize that many children exhibit troubling and rebellious behavior. Many children do that. And they're not what you call a full-blown prodigal. So understand that. If your child wears a different hairstyle, or has a body piercing, or is moody or depressed, or comes home with C's on their report card and becomes angry when they're told to empty that dishwasher, that doesn't make your child a prodigal. Do you understand that? Yeah. That you don't have to say, "Come right on in and find the chair." There you go. I'm sorry, but we're just dumb. There's no rhyme or reason in the setting of chairs in here. There's one here. Well, better late than never. We're defining what a prodigal is, okay? And it may be a teenager who has a body piercing or doesn't like that. He gets mad when he's told to empty the dishwasher, has long hair. That doesn't mean your child is a prodigal, okay? What I just described is the norm for preteens and teens. Okay, it's the norm. So don't think, "Oh, God, are you going to give us a rebellious child and we're going to have problems with them?" And we had an older son that was like that. He wasn't rebellious, but he just tested everything that we taught or asked required of him. And in a way, that's good, because this helped him determine, what am I going to believe, what my dad and mom have taught me, what am I going to embrace for my life? So he was the child that tested, the other three did not, okay? But that was okay, because he's a godly young man today and loves the Lord. And he just had to test and challenge us to be sure that dad and mom know what they're talking about. So he truly embraced our teachings, okay? Now, a true prodigal child will show extreme defiance. I mean extreme. And they'll show rebellion. And it's going to be a pattern over a long period of time, okay? Just extreme rebellion. And the word defiance catches it all. It's a stubborn, rebellious spirit that challenges authority, all authority,
and just refuses to acknowledge right responsibility for, you know, they won't take mm-hmm. responsibility for any fault mm-hmm. of their own, and they don't want to embrace the truth. Mm-hmm. They just outright reject the truth of God's mm-hmm. word. And so here's some signs that suggest what a prodigal will do. A prodigal child will consistently, flagrantly disobey God's rules and cross all those boundary lines that you've set up. They'll just constantly do that. A prodigal child shows ongoing, active, or passive disrespect for authority, and not just for in the home, but for all authority. A prodigal child is unteachable. Did you get that? They're unteachable, and they refuse to accept any responsibility for their life. A prodigal child is self-destructive in their behavior. They'll do drugs. They'll get addicted to alcohol and sexual activity, stealing, violence. You see the extreme lifestyle of a prodigal. And a prodigal child lies and continues a pattern of deceit, even after being caught red-handed. A prodigal child's life is disintegrating in many areas, and it's just totally out of control. One of my best friends in Ohio has two granddaughters, and they're saved. They claim they got saved as children. She had a major influence in training them. My friend in Ohio is a godly woman and her husband, and they did an incredible job basically raising their granddaughters. Incredible job. These granddaughters have been, they're in their what, late 20s and 30s, in and out of prison, doing drugs, having sexual immorality, you know, and this is just killing grandma and grandpa. You know, why would they reject all this incredible godly training? You know, and this is their lifestyle. But I tell you what, those girls are on my prodigal list, and I am claiming God's deliverance in their life. But there's nothing that breaks your heart more and breaks their mother's heart as well. Okay. They're professionally, those who work professionally with such teenagers or young adults, here are the root causes. Just selfishness. Mm-hmm. It's all self-centered by nature. That's the root cause. During adolescence, the young people naturally seek greater control over their lives. Selfishly, they may ask for much more than they can handle. Sometimes there's just a dry relationship between their mom and dad. They don't have a good relationship with them, and what for whatever the reason. And somehow the relationship with mom and dad is not filling their child's emotional tank, and the child will go seek help or replenishment from their peers, which are bad set of friends, most likely. So the values of the peers are extremely hostile to what mom and dad have believed and taught. Sometimes there's just, listen to this, sometimes there's just no identifiable cause for a child's rebellion. Mm-hmm. Just like these two granddaughters, growing up in a godly home. Mm-hmm. No justifiable reason. They just, in their heart, chose to defy God and say, I'm going to live the way I want to. I'm going to lay with men. I'm going to do drugs. I'm going to have babies. They've got babies in their condition. But in prison, they can't take it. So grandma's got to raise these babies. Grandma's got to raise. And grandma's beside herself. And these babies are mentally ill already because they know that they're from dysfunctional mommies or in prison. And I can't imagine a state. Like, there's no reason. There's no justifiable reason. And Solomon said this, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Mm-hmm. And that means every child has a bent towards foolishness. Every child. And foolishness sprouts and blooms into prodigal behavior. So, anyhow, what are some priorities for you? Just keep loving
that.
Can
I ask what verse that is?
Proverbs 22:15. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of every child, okay? And we as parents have a responsibility to train and help them discontinue that, okay? Just keep loving them.
Yes,
And no matter how broken and alienated your child is, you'll always be their dad and mom or their grandma or their aunt, you know, a friend. Love them. Just love them. It's a powerful tool. It's like a huge magnet that can draw the wayward child back into your embrace. Some parents come cut them off. Oh, I'm not going to have anything to do with you anymore. And there's no opportunity to say, son and daughter, you know, I don't agree with what you do, but you know, I love you. I just love you so much. I'm praying for you every day. Let them know verbally. And give them a hug. If you can give them a hug, even though they're smelly with their alcohol, give them a hug and do like the father did with the prodigal son and kiss him all over. I love you. I love you. Pray for them. Prayer. God is capable of grabbing your child's attention. The good shepherd does not lose sheep. Ask. Keep asking. The effective prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5:16. That's one of your bullseyes. You can connect with your child. Your child might not even want to speak to you, so you may be weary of trying to reach out and always getting shut down by them. You have no choice. Always find ways to connect with your child. Even in the face of angry words and cold body language, you can speak kind. Don't argue with them and yell at them. Don't do that. Just be calm. And speak kindly, give hugs, give tender touches. Yes, you hate their sin and you hate the devil who has attacked them this way. But you compliment, if there's anything that you can compliment them about, you know, compliment them, praise them, encourage them, show interest. You can serve them, pursue your child in ways that speak in their language of love. And of course, always keep connected. And others in your family should not accept, if you have a prodigal child that's abusive and has destructive behavior from in the house, then you are given authority to draw boundaries, and you will have to ask that child. I have a brother-in-law who has tolerated two wicked prodigal grandsons living in their home. They're out now. But the one would be abusive to grandpa. I mean, that's wicked.
Yes.
And my heart breaks that my brother-in-law has had to encounter that with them. But they are gone now. He no longer will tolerate that and being drunk in the home and all that. So establish boundaries. And you have been given authority by God to draw those boundaries. And these rules must be carefully thought through, clearly communicated to your child. Your child needs to know that if boundaries are crossed, then there are consequences. You have to teach that to your child. And if one boundary might be, there's no drugs, there's no alcohol in my house, and if they persist violating that, then it means they have to leave home, or you're going to take them to a drug center to get rehabilitation. And so you have to choose what you can do to help them. So get help. Don't do this alone. You need prayer, emotional support, spiritual wisdom. You need prayers and counsel of leaders of your church. And recruit all the prayer support you can get. Your church family, churches, friends, just everywhere. Anybody, Christian organization, recruit. Where there's no guidance, the people fall. But in abundance of counselors, all there's victory. Proverbs 11. 14. Okay, particularly in this situation, if you have a prodigal in your home, cling to your husband. Particularly vulnerable during family crisis is the husband and wife relationship. So a significant part of your retreating and regrouping must involve honest discussion with effort and so, and that will solidify. Don't let this divide you and your husband if you have a prodigal in your home. A prodigal is bent on creating conflict between mom and dad. They really are. Don't let that happen. You guard your relationship with your mate. And they'll try to divide and cause conflict with other family members in your house as well. Don't let this happen. This is a time when you cling to your spouse like glue. And, of course, cling to the Lord. This is information from Dennis Ramey, who is a famous godly counselor. Now, I'm going to share information of a, she's a prominent woman. I don't know her, but I can tell she's a prominent woman. She's probably a preacher. But I want to tell you her. I grew up in a denomination where women were preachers, but I'm married to a Baptist preacher, so I don't believe that that is scriptural.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But if God calls you to preach at the moment, you just anyhow. This woman is probably a preacher, but I can tell she's a godly woman, and boy, she loves God's word. Anyway, this is her name, Mary Hudson. She said, one morning I opened my Bible. I'm going through a 3-month period of depression over her prodigal daughter. And the pages, I turned to Psalm, write this down, Psalm 113:9. And this is what this says. He makes the barren woman a joyful mother of spiritual children. This is the AMP. A joyful mother of spiritual children. Those words jumped off the page of her Bible and just slapped her cold in the face. Remember, she's been going through 3 months of depression. Oh, my prodigal daughter. Oh, I could just die. I cannot bear this any longer. And she said, as I read that verse, I felt the Lord tell me this. If you want your children to be spiritual, you better change your attitude, Miss Mary, and you better rejoice in the Lord like never before. Rejoice in the Lord. And you know what I had to do? Mary said I had to thank him in advance for what he was going to do in her family and to her prodigal child. She said, I changed my sad, depressed attitude and started rejoicing. She had her special bullseye verses that she would say out loud to God and claim them, and she was rejoicing. She said, I became happy in this trial of having a prodigal, and I adjusted my attitude radically, and it changed my whole perspective. And when children are away from God, it's natural for parents to want to tell them all the reasons they should change, and if your child's wayward, doing what comes naturally to you won't capture his or her heart. You face a spiritual battle. This is a spiritual battle. And you must fight for your child with superior firepower. And we learned about that hearing Miss Rita talk about putting on the armor.
Amen.
Oh, we learned about that. With prayer that bolsters by rejoicing. Praising our prayers, when we pray for our prodigal child, it's got to be rejoicing. It's got to be bolstered with praising. It's got to be bolstered with declaring God's word. And I'm going to be sharing the bullseye verses with you in a moment here. And it's a war strategy for giving you and your child victory. So Miss Mary says, don't you worry and fret anymore. You just start rejoicing and being happy and claiming God's word and say, I thank God he's going to work in this person's life.
Amen.
And, boy, I'll tell you what. She said, I need to get happy before there was anything to even get happy about. Even if the circumstances don't change, just that I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be rejoicing in the Lord. And she said, I had to drop that dismal, doubting Thomas stance, and I had to let God inhabit my praises. So, this is what you must do. You have to choose to rejoice, no matter what your situation looks like. She says God wants you to dance. He wants you to praise him before the breakthrough even occurs, okay? We may see times throughout Scripture that God sent victory after his people thanked him, and that's, you'll read that in Acts 16:20-28, okay? People are claiming the victory, the breakthrough, before, and thanking God before the victory came. All right? Praise is the act of faith. Listen to this. Praise is the act of faith that lets God know you trust his promises to come through for you. Okay? You're going to trust His promises to come through for you as you have an attitude of praise. Okay? Mm-hmm. And that takes faith, doesn't it?
Yep.
But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Put on more praise on your scales, ladies, and it'll balance the unbelief and the doubt that you have every time.
Yes.
And this is good
yes.
for everyday life, isn't
Amen.
It? Even if you don't have
Amen.
A prodigal. Boy, we have challenges every day when we wake
yes.
up, and it pulls us down and weighs us down. Start praising God. Thank
Amen.
You, God, in my day. I don't know what my day holds, but I'm going to rejoice in you. And I'm going to not yield to unbelief and doubt. As we often do. So, man, I thought that was a great testimony from Miss Mary. All right. Let's see what else we have here. If you're believing, okay. Here's a verse, Psalm 43:2. Psalm 43:2. For you are the God of my strength. In whom I take refuge. I began to speak the word even though I didn't see any signs of change, and I slowly began to see God bring healing in my situation. If you're believing God to bring your child back to Him, you got to declare it daily. Ask the Holy Spirit to drop specific scriptures into your heart. Say, God, give me the specific scripture, maybe just two, into your heart that speak to you about His purpose and plan for your child, and He will do it, and you will start to see results. Okay, instead of begging God, when you're interceding, oh God, please make prodigal back to you. Instead of doing that, speak His word. God, here's a verse that you've given me by authority. I claim it. Through the name of Jesus,
Amen.
Through the blood of
yes.
Jesus. And that is two other things you need to claim when you pray. I'm praying for, as I pray for my prodigals in my prayer journal, certain things I pray, my bullseye verses, and I go, I ask this in the name of Jesus, because His name is above all names and so powerful, and I ask in the blood of Jesus, because it's the name and the blood that's powerful and leads us to victory. And we need to do that in our everyday praying for ourselves as well.
Yes.
Okay, so don't forget to pray in the name of Jesus and through the blood of Jesus. Start speaking His word. All right, now here's a bullseye verse. 2 Corinthians 1:20. 2 Corinthians 1:20. And it says this. For all the promises of God in Him or Jesus are yes. And in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Wow. For all the promises of God in Him, Jesus, are yes. And in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. And then write down 1 Kings 8:56. These are verses that you can read out loud to God and say, "I, by authority of your promise, I claim this for my prodigal." Here, 1 Kings 8:56. There has not failed one word of all His good promise, which He promised to His servant Moses. Okay? As children of God, we have authority over the power of the enemy. Remember, this is a spiritual warfare
Amen.
On our child and our home.
Mm-hmm.
And so Luke 10:19. But as the children of God, we have authority over all the power of the enemy. And it's our responsibility to exercise that authority by agreeing with God's word and rejecting the lie. So when you read those verses out loud, say, God, this is, I claim these verses by authority for my prodigal child. Oh my, this is agreeing with God's word. God has a great life waiting for you. Just stay in His presence. Stay on His word. And begin to rejoice. So get on your knees or wherever you have your prayer time and stay in His presence and stay in His word. Okay? Let me see. Here is a strategy. So here we go. Again, you can get this from the internet, and it says Hannah's Cupboard. Hannah's Cupboard. So you can, and the reason why I don't have copies for you, my husband said, Barb, you can't. you can't copy these and hand these out. I said, I can't. How about these? He said, no, you can't do it. It's illegal. So you can get on the internet and look up Hannah's Cupboard, and she will give you the strategy. You will be given a strategy. This is powerful. So here we go. Praying, of course, is the most effective thing you can do, but what kind of prayer? Is there a prayer that short circuits rebellion? Is there a prayer that's going to cut through the destructive patterns and produces the heart change spoken by Jesus in the parable of the prodigal son? Okay, here, write down just the addresses. Luke 15:17. But when he came to his senses, remember when the prodigal child was in the pig pen, he came to his senses and he told himself, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? I am dying here with hunger. Finally see the light. Pray that your prodigal will finally see the light. The young son returned to his father's house and was fully welcomed. And that's what you want for your child. So pray for them to finally see the light. This is active waiting. You could be busy watching like the father was every day, looking. Be busy watching for a change, but praying those bullseye prayers that hit your child's heart. Pray the prayers that's going to hit the heart of your child, even if they're still afar off. That's far more control than you'll ever realize. You say, but I can't do anything. All I can do is pray. It's the most powerful and greatest thing that you can do. All right, here's your prayer strategy. Number one, the hedge. The hedge. And write down Hosea 2:6-7. Hosea 2:6-7. So you're praying for your prodigal, and this is what it says. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up, put their name there, their way with thorns. You said I will hedge up their way with thorns. I'll build a wall against them so they cannot find their paths. And she will pursue her lovers, but she will not overtake them. And she will seek them, but will not find them. Then she will say, I'll go back to my first husband, Hosea, for it was better for me than now. That's a verse you can say out loud, read out loud to God and claim it. Lord, put a hedge of thorns around my prodigal. Imagine a person inside a thorny hedge. They can't get out. They're stuck. And they try to go on their own way, but they can't hack their way through that thorny hedge. And you can pray that though your child tries to go in the paths of sin, they're going to be stopped in every effort while you pray that hedge of thorns about them. Pray and declare God's hedge around your loved one. Declare that they're going to come. God, I declare that they will wake up and come to their senses as they are, while they're being hedged in, like the prodigal son was in the pig pen, hedged in and came to a senses, and they can't get out. So pray that hedge, the hedge, and that verse I just gave you. Then, I thought this was powerful, because I've been praying this for my family. Break generational curses.
Yes.
Break generational curses. And Exodus 25. And this says, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of your fathers on the children, on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me. Are there generational curses operational in your family? What seems to reoccur from one generation to the next? Are there addictions, sexual sins, violence, guilt, lying, unfaithfulness? Are these fueling your children's rebellion? I have these in my past generations. I came out of a horrible, and I'm the only one that lives godly of most of my relatives and family. It's generational curses. There's so much addiction. I have a sister that committed suicide not too long ago because she was addicted to drugs all her life, and she was young when she addicted. So all of that sexual sins, drunkenness, all in my family. And so You go, Lord, I repent on behalf of all my ancestors who have introduced this into our family. I repent of all my, and I've done this from generations and generations past in my family. These are the people that have brought in these curses, and I ask you to break them off at the root. Break them off at the root by the power of the blood of Jesus that covers all righteousness. So I started praying that prayer because I want my grandchildren who all know the Lord as their Savior, I want them to break that pattern and change it for generations and generations to come, and I pray for that as well. Lord, for generations to come, break these curses and do not let it continue. All right? And then persevere. Persevere. Do not give up. Do not lose heart. Remember the persistent widow in Luke 18, 1-8. And we heard that from Reba, didn't we? God specifically gave us this parable to see it through, even if it's a long haul. The widow went back to the unrighteous. Oh, we're talking about the unrighteous judge. I'm sorry. I was thinking of the widow of
Elijah.
There, no. Yeah. Unrighteous judge, the widow that went day after day, and she demanded her claim to be addressed, and the judge got weary of her, and he finally gave in, lest by continually coming she wears me out. Luke 18:5. Okay, but God says he is the righteous judge. Now shall not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night, and he will delay long over them. So keep pressing your claim. Keep pressing. Persevere. All right? And ask God to give you a specific scripture that you can pray and claim for your child. I love this one. Isaiah 57:18. I think this is one of the best. I would do this number one. Isaiah 57:18. Okay, God, I'm claiming this. I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. God's saying this. I've seen your prodigal's ways, but I will heal him. I'll lead him. I'll restore him, comfort to him, and to his mourners, back to his family. Isn't that great? And that's great. So, and don't demand time frames. Don't say, God, I want you to bring them back in 2 months. Let God take all the time he needs to bring your prodigal back. Just keep watching like the father of the prodigal son. Just keep watching, keep expecting, keep rejoicing. God, I just thank you. That is going to be power in God answering your prayer. Just God, thank you. Now, our time is quickly going, and I was going to read. There's a powerful prayer. It's I don't have time to read it all, but oh, it is so powerful. It's prayer for the lost and the prodigal. And you can find that on A Prayer for the Lost and Prodigal. If you could just print that out and keep it on your refrigerator, you can pray this incredible, powerful prayer for your prodigal. So do these strategies help? I believe, and now that I have learned this, I'm going to use more of this in praying for the list of prodigals that I have in my journal. And I can't wait to contact some of these people and say, guess what? Yes. I got a new strategy now to pray for your wayward prodigals that you've been burdened down for years. And I told you all of our 7 grandchildren know the Lord from ages 8 all the way up to 23. And about 4 years ago, my husband and I got a phone call. And it was our oldest son, Tim. And he said, Mom and Dad, I want you to sit down. I have something to tell you. And of course, anytime you hear words like that, you know bad news is coming. And we had no clue what was happening. And so we sat down. And Tim said, I want you to know Justin, our oldest grandchild, who was, I think it was 19 back then, he's in prison. He's in jail. And I want you to know he may have to spend a lifetime. And, I mean, wait, what? Justin, who we know God is calling to be a pastor, who's been the easiest child in all the world to raise, no No, he didn't buck his parents. He listened to them. He obeyed. He would get up as a little boy and say, Grandma, Grandpa, can I preach to you? He would preach sermons to us when he would come to our house because we only got to see him about once a year. We took him to China with us as a little boy when we went to visit our missionary daughter. Loved the Lord. We just knew God's hand was on him. And we said, now this, and we just went to his graduation a few months before, and he gets up and announces that, I believe God is calling me to Bible college and to go into the ministry. And we thought, now wait a minute, this does not make sense. What happened? Well, it's a long story, and I can't tell you the details, but it's crazy. But God, actually, it was warfare of Satan on his life. And he got one night, it was sheer, you would say, it's an accident. How could that happen? It was freaky. He got with the wrong person at the wrong time in the wrong place.
Oh, wow.
And he got caught. And he got involved in a crime, and he really didn't even want to do it. He said, what are we doing? You're crazy. What are you talking about? And he was like in a trance, and he couldn't get out of it. So here he is in prison. And long story, he goes before the judge months later, and he says, Judge, I'm guilty. And he's expecting to go to jail. He's expecting to go. But our family and our relatives prayed morning, noon, and night for him, because we have a large Christian family, enormous, and they prayed and they prayed. And he, as he went before the judge in his jail suit, he knew, I'm going to jail, and it's okay. He loved it. He said, I'm going to preach in the jail. I'm just going to witness for the Lord in jail, because I deserve this. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I didn't want to do it, but I couldn't stand up and say no. Well, the judge set him free. It was miraculous. It shouldn't have happened. Now, the guy that let him in, he should have gone to prison for life. But he got set free because they said he wasn't mentally.
Oh, wow.
Yes. But anyhow, it was prayer that set our Justin free, and he's doing well. We're so glad. Praise God for him. And I wish I could tell you all the details, but I don't have that. But anyhow, there's an example of families praying for the prodigal child. I really don't consider him a prodigal child because he doesn't fit that description, but he got caught up with the wrong person at the wrong time, and he could have spent his whole life in jail, his whole life, imagine. But he just said, I deserve it, and I'm just going to serve the Lord in prison. That's what he did. So, okay, thank you for coming. Get online, look up this information. You will learn a whole lot more.